Welcome to the Charis Christian Center podcast.
So today we're going to talk about the subject of faith and how faith works. Amen. To live by faith, to walk by faith, to win the fight of faith. So we're going to look at Mark chapter 11, verse 22 and 23, and look at the simple principles of faith. Faith is the victory. If you want to win, if you like to win, faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Amen. So in Mark 11, 22, 23, I can quote it or you can quote it or look at it. These are the most important words that the Lord Jesus Christ said on the subject of faith. We also call this the authority of the believer. The authority of the believer. So, the authority of the believer, we learned so much about that from a guy named Kenneth E. Hagin, whom I called Dad Hagin, because he came to my dad's church when I was 8 years old. And then he wouldn't stay for less than 2 weeks. So he would teach every morning, preach every night, and life-changing for our family. Even though we were saved, even filled with the Holy Spirit, and yet we did not understand really how faith works. So Dad Hagin said the Lord told him to go and teach my people faith. So Dad Hagin would come to my dad's church for 2 weeks at a time, sometimes 3 weeks, and teach on the subject of faith. And he taught on it so much that I thought he had run out of sermon material. But I did not realize that that was his assignment. The Lord said, go and teach my people faith. He was faithful to do that until 86 years old. He went home to be with the Lord. So my mom and dad, Trina's mom and dad, Dad and Mom Hagin, oh, tremendous influence. I think I still listen to his teaching almost every day. Listen to him teaching on the subject of faith. And still learning. I said, I'm still learning. I heard Dad Hagin praying when he was about 80, and he said, oh Lord, he said, we know so little. I thought, well, if he knows so little, I know almost nothing. I really need to pay attention. Amen. So look at Mark 11, 22 and 23. These are what the words that Jesus said on the subject of faith. And Mark 11, 22, Jesus said to have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Well, in the next verse, Jesus could have said, figure it out. Or he could have said, good luck. You're a lucky guy. He said, figure it out. Instead, in the next verse, verse 23, Jesus makes faith so simple, you actually need a theologian to get confused about it. So what Jesus said about faith and how faith works, or we call this the authority of the believer. The authority of the believer is not just the authority of the pastor or the evangelist or the preacher. Every believer has this kind of authority. Every believer. And so when Jesus said to have faith in God, other translations say have the faith of God. So translators have said, have the God kind of faith. We know that as a believer, each one of us has a measure of the God kind of faith. You have a measure of that faith. And then how to release or how to use that faith. I heard, I think it was Kenneth Copeland say not too long ago, that his whole life changed when he realized he could use his faith on purpose. All right, well, let's try this side over here. He said he learned how to use his faith on purpose, like you would use a tool. So the authority of the believer is not just available, it is absolutely necessary. It is not just a luxury, some added information. There will be times in your life that if you do not exercise your authority as a believer, there will be mountains that will be in your way. There will be some challenges from Satan himself. There'll be attacks upon your life or your family. And if you don't know or use your authority as a believer, you'll be limited, hindered. But the Lord said to me one time, He said, if you knew what was on the other side of your mountain, you would move it. In other words, mountain represents anything too big for you or something that's blocking your progress. I love what Smith Wigglesworth said about faith. He said, any man or any person can be changed by faith, no matter how they may be fettered. The word fettered is just the word bound. So let's say it this way. Any person can be changed by faith, no matter how they may be bound. That means the devil cannot make a bondage that your faith cannot break off of you. In other words, your faith in God is so valuable, so precious. What Paul said about Timothy, he said, the faith that came from your grandmother, came from your mother. He said, I'm persuaded that faith is in you. And yet he gave him instruction to stir up the gift of God that's on the inside of you. You have that initiative to exercise your faith. Stir up the gift of God. For he said, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Hallelujah. And so in our family, my dad pastored in a little town called West Columbia, Texas, south of Houston, about an hour close to a little town called Angleton, Brazoria, Bay City, Freeport. So down in the south, not too far from the beach. And so my dad went there to pastor. And when he went there, just had a few people in the church. And my dad had a heart attack. Young man, my mother had a nervous breakdown. Even though they had both been saved, filled with the Holy Spirit, called to preach, my mama had a nervous breakdown, not just a little problem. My dad said for 2 years, she struggled with depression and wouldn't even come out of the back bedroom. While that was all happening, my older brother and myself, he is 4 and I is 1, so I got my right thumb cut off in a bicycle chain. So it is still gone. All that means is I can only hitchhike that away. If I'm gonna go somewhere, I have to go there. So little kids always come up and say, what happened to your thumb? And I always say, picking my nose and a booger bit it or something like that. So I say. So my dad had a heart attack. Mama had a nervous breakdown. I was only 1.5 years old. Came in the house and I said, look, Mom, no thumb. And I always wanted to be somebody, but there you go, no thumb. So one time a guy said, man, you're praying for the sick and they're getting healed and you're laying hands on them without a thumb. I said, wow, well, don't let that stop you. You don't have no brain. Go ahead and let the Lord use you. So we're not focusing on what we don't have. Focusing on what we do have. Amen. And so there's something about the spirit of faith that Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4:13. He said, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe and therefore have I spoken. He said, we also believe and therefore speak. So believing is the attitude of faith and speaking is the initial act of faith. Let's try that one more time. Believing is an attitude of faith. You are a believer. Speaking is the initial act of faith, or it's how you release your faith. Our dad Hagin said it this way, believing and speaking opens the door to the supernatural. He said, many people are looking for the spectacular and they miss the supernatural. Believing and speaking opens the door to the supernatural. In other words, when you believe God, believe his word, believe in the power of the blood, and yet you get your speaker connected to your believer. In other words, sometimes your speaker is connected to your feelings and your circumstances and your kinfolk's opinions. In other words, he said, you keep your speaker connected to your believer and that will open the door to the supernatural. I believe. Paul said, and I speak. Matter of fact, if you ask the Apostle Paul what kept him from quitting and from collapsing, he would say, we have the same spirit of faith. We believe and we speak. So in my mom and dad's situation, he there was saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, and Dad Hagin came and started teaching on the subject of faith and how faith works. So my dad took the word back to the back bedroom where my mom was in depression, in darkness, not just for a month, a two-year fight of faith. How many know that sometimes the fight of faith lasts longer than you were planning? And so, boy, there was a fight going on. And sometimes the fight of faith that you're in today is really not just about today. It's about what's going to happen the next 12 months and the next 24 months. I like what Abraham Lincoln said. He said, the struggle of today is not all about today. It's about your future. So many times the devil's not just fighting where you are. He's fighting where you're going. So to fight the good fight of faith, my dad, my mom, our family was in a struggle. So my dad took the principles of the authority of the believer, took it back to the back bedroom where my mama was struggling with depression, and he got my mama to start speaking the word. Yeah. Come on, you can't just lay there silent. If you're silent, you're gonna lose by default. You're gonna have to say something. The authority's in your voice. You're gonna have to start speaking. So mama's laying there in depression, and sometimes people are waiting on God to do something. Well, let's try this side over here. I said, sometimes people are waiting on God to do something. I said, sometimes people are waiting on God to do something. But God's already done everything he's gonna do about your salvation, about your healing, about your victory, about your blessing. Amen? And so God's already done his part in Christ. And so now it's your move. And so if your faith is not strong enough to move your mouth, it'll never move a mountain. So mama's there. She does have faith. She is a believer, raised in church, a pastor's wife, laying there in depression. So my dad went back to the back bedroom. And he got my mama to start speaking the word. My mama's named Velma. Velma, not many Velmas around. Jesse Duplantis, his mama was named Velma. And actually my dad was his spiritual father. And so me and Jesse are kind of like brothers. Velma, so my dad went back and told Velma, you're gonna have to start speaking the word. Come on, the preacher can't do it for you. Nobody else is gonna be able to do it for you. You're gonna have to start speaking the word. So he got my mama to take the word, put it in her mouth, and start to say it, declare it. No matter how you feel, no matter what the circumstances look like, you're gonna have to say something. So he took the word back and my mama started saying 2 Timothy 1:7. She did believe it all along, but she started saying it. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So my dad said, say it again. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. I'm not a victim to fear. I'm not controlled by fear. I don't live in fear. God's not given me a spirit of fear, power, love, sound mind. Then my mama's favorite scripture, or really passage, is Psalms 27. So my dad would get my mama to speak the word and she would say Psalms 27. How many of y'all know Psalm 27? I still say it to this day. Are you ready? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, I will not fear. The war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. And now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies round about me. Therefore, in his tabernacle will I offer sacrifices of joy and praise. I will sing praises unto God. Come on, everything will start to turn the moment you start speaking the word of God. Are you ready? I said everything will start to turn the moment you start speaking the word of God. The authority is in your voice. Your faith must move your mouth. Praise the Lord. So look at Mark 11, 23, because Jesus is going to say this real simple here. This is how faith works. I think if you and I were just conscious that we actually have the same spirit of faith, we have the same thing Paul had. We got the same thing Jesus had. We've got the same authority of the believer. Amen? So look at verse 23. Here's what Jesus said about faith. Jesus said, "Verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say..." The first thing Jesus said about faith in God was, "Whosoever shall say." So let's finish reading. "Whosoever shall say unto this mountain." I thought, Lord, why did you use mountain? We were actually already impressed with the tree. He spoke to the fig tree. And then in this verse, you have to throw in the word mountain. What does that mean? That represents something that is too big for you, something that looks immovable, and the devil tells you it will always be there. But I'm telling you, there's things you're facing right now that 12 months from now, it will no longer be there. It will be removed, come on, by your faith in God. Say unto this mountain, don't talk about it, talk to it. Say, so, "Mr. Mountain, I'd like to talk to you." Wow, well, it's been talking to you. You might as well talk back to it. Looks impossible. Looks too difficult for you. Looks like you could never change that. But Jesus said, "Whosoever." He said, anybody can do this. So that doesn't make you special if you do it, because Jesus said anybody could do it. Anybody can do this. Well, Jesus, when he spoke to the fig tree, the disciples were so impressed with what happened and impressed with his words, they said, "Master, look at that." And so while I was reading that one time, the Lord said, "I could have said, I'm Jesus, and you're not." Don't any of you earthlings try this, because if you get it wrong, it could blow the lips right off of your mouth. Jesus could have said, "That's a deity trick that I learned in heaven. Only the Godhead can do that." Instead, Jesus said, "Anybody can do what I just did. It won't just work on a tree, it will work on a mountain because of your faith in God." Woo, let's finish reading it. "Whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea." I thought, what does that mean, cast into the sea? Well, that means the sea has the capacity to receive it, dissolve it, which means, number one, it's not coming back. And number two, there'll be no evidence it was ever there. Matter of fact, people have to ask you, they'll say, "How come you don't have problems like me?" You say, "Believe me, I had a whole mountain range. But when I found God and I learned how to have faith in God and faith in the blood of Jesus, it has changed the scenery in my life." So he said, "The mountain be removed, cast into the sea, and it will not come back." My, my. Some of you, you think, well, my faith in God has given me temporary help, but what am I going to do when it all comes back? Jesus said, it will not come back. It will not come back. Come on, the torment that you've been going through, it will not come back in the name of Jesus, by the blood of Jesus. When my wife had a brain tumor, we said, you must be removed. After 6 hours of surgery, the neurosurgeon said, that tumor has disappeared. We said, and there's another part of that, and it will not come back. And the other part of that, there'll be no evidence it was ever there. Ha ha! I said, it will not come back, and there'll be no evidence it was ever there. The mountain removed, dissolved, disappeared. You say, how did that happen? Faith in God, my Father God. Woo! Go ahead and holler about that. Say, ha! Come on, act like you have authority as a believer. Act like you have that kind of authority. Come on, you're not a victim in life. You are a believer. You have faith in God. Woo! Let's try one more time. I said, you are not a victim in life to whatever the devil wants to throw at you. God's given you authority over devils and demons and evil spirits, over sickness and disease, in the name of Jesus. Woo! Sit back down. We don't really have time for you to shout. I'm still working on this. Come on, when you have a spirit of faith, you have an attitude. I said an attitude of faith. How many of you ever had to work on your attitude? You are actually the most difficult person you've ever had to work with. You need to work on your attitude. Always say, look in the mirror and say, I'm getting tired of your attitude. So to have an attitude of faith, a spirit of faith, when Jesus said to have faith in God, one translation says, lay hold on God's faithfulness. Lay hold on God's faithfulness. While we were singing and worshiping, I love that song. That God, you've always been faithful. Hallelujah. When you struggle with your faith, start declaring the faithfulness of God and watch him work. Amen. Woo! All right. Now, here's what Jesus said about how faith works, and I learned this from Kenneth E. Hagin or from Dad Hagin. Are y'all ready for this? That Jesus said, here's how faith works. He said, whosoever shall say. He said, verily I say unto you, which means I'm not kidding. Whosoever shall say. Think of the faith of your mother or your grandmother. Someone in your family that had faith in God and their faith reached all the way down to you. The most valuable thing that you can leave your kids is your faith in God. So when Jesus said to have faith in God, he meant that your expectation and your confidence must be only upon God. That means Psalm 62, he says, my expectation is only. That means you isolate your expectation to God. You look to Jesus. You look to his word. You're not looking one way and the other way, and then God's in there somewhere. No, you say, my faith, my confidence, my expectation is only upon God. He alone is my strength. Amen. So when Jesus said to have faith in God, then he begins to tell us how faith works, that he said anybody can do this. Anybody. Don't have to be cute. Don't have to be talented. America does have talent. But Jesus said, when I come back, I'm looking for faith. So you don't have to be that smart, don't have to have a lot of money in the bank. All you got to do is have faith in God. So he said, here's how to release your faith or use your faith. He said that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. Other translations say, do not entertain doubt. In other words, doubt can come to your mind, just don't invite it in for coffee and donuts. In other words, don't entertain doubt. Say to this mountain, be removed. Do not entertain doubt, but shall believe those things which he saith shall come to pass. When he said, believe what you say will come to pass, that word for say means that you're on a journey, and the moment you begin to say, you're on the way. Hallelujah. Believe what you say shall come to pass, and he shall have whatsoever he saith. In other words, Jesus said, whosoever shall have whatsoever, which means faith works the same in every area of your life. That means living by faith doesn't mean I just got saved by faith. That means every day faith is the chief occupation of my life. I live by faith. I walk by faith. Come on, I fight the good fight of faith. I am a believer. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, I learned this from Dad Hagin, so I'm going to give it to you real quickly here. He said he was teaching on the power of faith and your words, and he did that faithfully for 65 years. But he said he was teaching on the saying or the speaking part of faith. Okay, the saying or the speaking part of faith. In other words, the initial act of faith is your voice or your words. If your faith doesn't move your mouth, it's really not qualified to be the God kind of faith. So you're gonna have to say. It's the initial act of faith. Or I like to say it this way, faith is motion activated. You ever seen motion-activated stuff? I mean, it's difficult to deal with if you don't believe that the motion is going to open the gate. Or when I was traveling many years ago, went to the first airport that I'd been in that had motion-activated water faucets and everything. So this is many years ago, so don't act like you're smarter than me, but I went to this airport that had motion-activated water faucets and everything in there. So I was going to wash my hands, and I looked at the water faucet, and it didn't have a handle. So I thought, somebody left the handle off of the water faucet. How am I supposed to get the water out? So I looked under the sink to try to find something to push. There's nothing under there. So I just stood and stared at the water. I thought, you know, I've been to college. I ought to be able to figure this out. So I was just standing there in front of the sink, and directly another man came in. And so I just kind of stood back and kind of, and directly he goes over to the sink and he put his hand underneath the water faucet and he moved his hand and the water came out. I went, wow. I had never seen motion activated water faucets before. And he just made, water came out. I thought, this is an amazing man. He's a miracle man. I need to meet him. You go over there to the paper towels, waved his hand, paper towels came down. I thought, wow, this is an amazing man. Did you see that? Directly, he left the bathroom, and I went over to the water faucet, and I put my hand under there, and the water came out. And I said, I am an amazing man. I went over to the paper towels and waved my hand, and paper towels came out. And I'm an amazing man. I'm a miracle man. And then I saw the sign on the wall that said, everything is motion activated. Then I found out anybody that makes a motion can do this. In other words, people look at the word of God and they see salvation and they see healing. Come on. They see victory and blessing. They're like, how do I get this out of here? It's motion activated. Wave your hand under there. Start speaking the word. Act like the Bible is true. You say, who will it work for? Anybody. Amen. So the speaking part of faith is essential. If you're silent, you actually lose by default. So Dad Hagen was teaching on the saying of the speaking part of faith. And he said, one day he was praying and the Lord said to him, did you ever notice that the saying or speaking part of faith is in Mark 11:23 three times and the believing part is only once? Dad Hagen said, I never noticed that. He said, I'd read the New Testament through 150 times and I never noticed that. So he said, I was praying, so I just turned my Bible to Mark 11:23. Jesus said the saying or speaking parts in there three times, believing's only once. So he said, I just counted it. And he said, whosoever shall say, that's in reference to the believer. He said, that's one. Saying this mountain be removed, cast seed, not sorry, believe those things, but he said, that's twice. Shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he said, that's three times. How many times is the believing in there? He goes, believe, once. So if you ever heard Dad Hagen teach, then you would see there's a picture of him where he's holding up three fingers and one. That's when he's teaching. Say, believe. So Dad Hagen said the Lord told him, you'll have to teach three times more on the saying part than you do on the believing part, or people won't get it. So instead of backing off, he said, I started increasing teaching on the saying part of faith. He said, you'll have to do it three times more than the believing part. He said, because my children are already believers, but I didn't say they're going to have just what they believe, they'll have what they say. So your words can actually defeat your own faith, or actually can release your faith. Hallelujah. So my friend minister, he does rap music. He happens to be African-American, one of my best friends. He's got tattoos all over him. He sings and raps at a lot of our meetings, and he's jumping all over the place. And he tells his life, you know, he said, well, you know, I was raised in Florida. My mama was a prostitute. My dad ran bars, was a drug dealer. I was a drug dealer, 13, been in prison many times, had so many convictions against me. But I found Jesus and I got saved. So now he raps and sings the scriptures just powerfully. One of our best friends. We just love minister. Now he's pastoring Philadelphia. Anyway. So he says, I was raised on the streets, which was rough and tough, and I was raised there in drug dealing and stuff. I said, minister, that ain't nothing. I was raised in church, man. I said, in church, people will kill you and say God told them to do it. So I said, I know what it's like. You ought to try going through the nursery and the youth department and stuff like that. Stay in church for about 50 years. So every time me and minister take a picture, he always has a gang sign. He's got like a gang sign. You know, I don't know what he does with all of his fingers, and I don't want to do the wrong one. So I told minister, I said, we're going to have to come up with a new picture and a new gang sign. So I said, I'm the original gangster of Camp Meetings, the OG of Camp Meetings. So now you come and stand by me, and so here's our new gang sign. Whosoever shall say, believe those things which he saith, so he shall have whatsoever he saith. So believe once, say three times. Let's take a picture, because when I have faith in God, come on, I'm going to change the world. Come on, mountains have to move. I'm going to kill some giants. My faith is in God. My faith is in the blood of Jesus. My faith is in the name of Jesus. I live by faith. Take a picture of this, baby. That's my gang sign right there. Got it. Yeah. Woo. The authority of the believer. Whosoever shall say, he shall have whatsoever he saith. I don't have what they say, I have what I say. Hallelujah. word of God is a spoken thing. It came out of God's mouth. Didn't come out of God's pen. God said, came out of his mouth. It was spoken before it was written. It's written so it could be spoken. Come on, you could be just a little granny. But if you put the word of God in your mouth, mountains are gonna have to move. Come on, you can look the doctor's report or death right in the face or disease right in the face and say, you're gonna have to move. You can't stay there. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. This is the introduction. I'm just really trying to edit this message right now because I'm like, this is the introduction to have faith in God. So you look in the mirror and you every morning and do your mouth exercises. People say, what are you doing? You say, I'm fixing to say a few things today. I need to say a few things today that are very essential for my life, for my future, and for the scenery. I'm expecting a change of scenery in my life. I'm expecting a change of scenery in my life. I'm gonna have to say a few things right now. I'm gonna have to say a few things right now. Come on. And your words reach out into your future. Hallelujah. So when I take the word, my faith in God or my faith in the blood of Jesus, my faith in the name of Jesus, it must be believed and spoken. Say, Dad Hagin said, it's so significant. Say three times and believe once. He said, it's so significant that if you're struggling with doubt or fear, you can actually school yourself into faith with your own words. Or let's try that again. If you don't feel nothing, come on. Don't look like nothing's happening. You school yourself into faith with your own words. Anytime God wants to change somebody's life, he always touches their mouth. Anytime God wants to change a nation, he touches somebody's mouth. Anytime God wants to change somebody's family, he touches somebody's mouth in that family. Because your faith in God, your faith in the blood of Jesus, when you lift up your voice, come on, you may not look like much on the outside, but on the inside, you have a measure of the God kind of faith. You have the same spirit of faith. And when you lift up your voice, come on, in the middle of every storm and every challenge, you say, I want to say something right now. Woo! Hallelujah. I mean, David was the first man to even talk back to Goliath. Goliath's a giant. Nobody talked back to Goliath, I mean, since he was in the third grade. Everybody's afraid of him. David comes out at 17. Listen, you can have the spirit of faith at 17. I said, you can have the spirit of faith at 17. But don't stop there. Joshua and Caleb had the same spirit of faith at 80 years old. They had a spirit of faith. Come on, you have the same thing at 80 years old. I'm not looking for a rocking chair. I'm not looking for a place to lay down. Give me this mountain. I want to take another mountain for God. 80 years old, 17, 80 years old. My, your best years. All right, sit back down. I'm trying to finish. See, I got a pot roast back at the house. Let it cook a little longer. It'll be more tender. So Dad Hagin taught on the importance of the speaking part of faith in the face of every circumstance. And he taught on the confession of your faith. That's how you got saved. This is a law of faith. That's how you got saved. There's only one confession that keeps you out of hell. One confession keeps you out of hell. Do you know what that is? Romans 10:9-10. That if thou shalt confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. In other words, this confession precedes the experience of salvation. That confession precedes your possession. And this confession that Jesus is Lord and everything that comes with his lordship is not just the initial confession of every believer, it is the continual confession of every believer. No matter how you feel in your circumstances, if you dare to confess, Jesus is my Lord, you serve notice on the devil that he can no longer dominate you. Sin cannot dominate you. Satan cannot dominate you. Sickness cannot dominate you. Poverty cannot dominate you. Jesus is my Lord. He's my Savior. He's my Redeemer. That's my confession. Confession precedes the experience of salvation. Whew. Now let me give you this real quickly. I'm closing up here right now. This is my third closing. All right. This confession, the power of your voice and of your words. Woo! Hebrews 3:1. Hebrews 4:14. Hebrews 10:23. Hebrews 13:15. 1 Timothy 6:12. Your confession of faith, your faith in God. Now listen close. Your faith in the blood of Jesus. Faith comes first and feelings come later. You say, well, I don't feel. I tell you, I just ain't feeling it, man. I just don't feel like it. I don't even feel saved. How many ever had a day that you didn't really feel saved? I mean, now the rest of y'all are just suckers, just saying on a line. You ain't gonna tell the truth. How many ever a day you didn't feel saved? How many ever a time you didn't really feel forgiven? How many ever a time you didn't really feel blessed? Come on now, you didn't feel victorious. It is your confession that precedes the experience of your possession. So instead of walking by your feelings, you get your mouth hooked up to your believer instead of your feelings. When you hold fast to that confession, don't turn it loose. My faith in God, my faith in the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. Woo. The blood of Jesus. Come on, in the face of every circumstance, the blood of Jesus. Or you could say it this way, that faith requires application, which is your confession. If you are silent, you will lose by default. So when David talked back to Goliath, Goliath said, David ran at Goliath, hit him in the head with a rock, cut his head off with his own sword, showed us how to get ahead in life. Goliath didn't say nothing else. David took his head home and hung it in the tent. Come on, Hebrews chapter 11, the great faith chapter. It says, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith, 20 times in one chapter. And you say, Lord, how is this going to change in my life? How am I ever going to get over this situation? The Lord says, by faith, by faith, by faith, By faith. Got it? It's going to be by faith. That's how it's going to be. In other words, your faith in God takes the limits off of your life. Woo, come on now. I said your faith in God takes the limits off of your life. Your expectations on God. Come on, I'm a believer. I'm not a doubter. I'll not be silent. I lift up my voice. It affects everything in your life. Your words. What are you going to say about that? Come on, what you going to say about that? What you gonna say about that? I have authority as a believer. Mountains have to move. Stand up on your feet, give the Lord a shout. Hallelujah.
Thanks for listening to the Charis Christian Center podcast. If you would like to receive prayer, product, or more information about the ministry, go to www.charischristiancenter.com or call us at 719-418-4000.